Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Good morning. It's great to see everyone. I'm sure you've noticed that a lot of long-distance races, 5,000 meters, 10,000 meters, the marathon, the steeplechase, is dominated by one nation called Kenya. The other day, the night before the New York City Marathon, I was flipping through the channels. It was late at night, and David Letterman was doing his top 10 countdown. And the question that night was, what will it take to win the New York City Marathon, the top 10 countdown? And he went through the whole thing. And I love the last one, number one. He goes, is it too late to be a Kenyan? I thought that was so good. I hold in my hand a Kenyan passport. It looks like an American passport because it's also blue. But it says Republic of Kenya on it. It belongs to one of my girls. How come they have this? They were born in Kenya. If you're born in this country, you're an American citizen, right? Some of you are naturalized citizens. But you don't just wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm an American. It doesn't work that way. Just like you can't wake up someone and go, you know what? I'm a Kenyan. Right. The same thing is true for being a Christian. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Larry, what's up? Okay, I had to turn it on. All right. I thought he was messing with me back there. You see, you just don't wake up one morning and decide, you know what, I'm a Christian. Just like you're going to wake up one morning and just say, I'm an American. You don't just show up at the post office and fill out the forms and say, you know what, I need an American passport. They're going to ask you for some things to make sure that you are indeed from here and that you were born here. Are you listening to me? And the same thing is true, spiritually speaking. Because one day, we're going to leave this earth. And you're not just going to show up on the other side and say, you know what, hey, you need to let me in. I'm a Christian. The question is, how did you become a Christian? How did you become a Kenyan? How did you become an American citizen? That's the question. Are you with me? And that's what I want us to talk about this morning very quickly. You know, a lot of times we think, oh yeah, it doesn't matter what you believe. I guess we're all going to heaven. In other words, the idea is all roads lead to heaven. I have never believed that. And I don't. Why? Because the Bible says different. In Acts chapter 4 verse 12, the Bible says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. That is not something the Church of Christ came up with. It's always been in the book. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I am staking my eternity on that. Are you? You say you're a Christian. How did you become a Christian? Honestly, when I grew up, I used to think, okay, well, I guess we go to church. We carry a Bible. We pray from time to time. I guess I'm a Christian. Compared to some of my relatives who would pray 5 times a day, they were Muslim. I thought that was what a Christian was. As a matter of fact, for the longest time, I thought we were calling on the same God in different ways. Again, people make that argument today. But the Bible does not give you and I that leeway. Are you listening to me? You say, oh, Richard, this is very elitist. Well, you don't see my name next to any of those verses. People don't like to talk about this stuff, especially in America. We can't apologize for these people. We got to say what the Bible says, amen? You can apologize for it. Because so much is at stake. I do not believe all roads lead to heaven. Never believed it. There's only one way that goes to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We got to get into the book. And making sure that we're living our lives according to the book. Again, I don't believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Oh, all of a sudden the room got quiet. You say, oh, I was baptized at this time, at this place, at this. Really? Okay. Are you still a Christian? Is the Spirit of God still dwelling in you? Or is there sin that you're hiding and you think you're fooling yourself? My Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 10, if we deliberately keep on sinning, after we have received a knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, except a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And so I want us to really sit up this morning. Our salvation, our eternity is not something to toy with. Your soul, my soul, is the most important thing I've got. I can't afford to lose it. Because my eternity will never change. If I don't live according to the scriptures on a daily basis, amen? In Luke chapter 13, then Jesus went to the towns and the villages, the Bible says, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank in your streets and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but to yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who will be last. Excuse me, there are those who are last who will be first, and those and the first who will be last. I don't know about you. This is one of the scriptures that scares me. It scares the living daylights out of me. Somebody asks Jesus, are only a few people going to be saved? And he answers the question by saying, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. He's referring to the door and the gate and the road that he talked about in Matthew chapter 7. He said, you got to make every effort. Make every effort, he said. You see, a lot of times in this country, we don't really understand what that means. Because a lot of times we don't have to struggle for stuff. I mean, you're trying to get to work, okay, you know, you leave early, you get on the interstate, and eventually you'll get there. Can you imagine living 20 miles away from where you work and having to get a bus? And seeing people trying to get onto that bus. Pushing and biting and shoving people out of the way. Forget about a line. People are making every effort to get onto that bus because they realize if they don't get on this bus, I'm going to be late for work. And I may get fired. Because you can't come in every day telling your boss, sorry, you know, I couldn't get a bus on time. I'm sorry, they're going to fire you. That's the way it is in Africa and in the third world. But you see people making every effort. When you wake up, there's no electricity, there's no power, there's no water. You got to get up early to go fetch yourself some water so you can take a bath. And have a time with the Lord before you head out to work. You see people really making an effort, struggling. Struggle is not your alarm not going off when it's supposed to. Please. But it says, you know, we got to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. It says, many will try. You know, I often tell people when they say, I'll try. Please don't try. Just do it. Whatever it is, I'll try. Don't try. Do it. Okay? I didn't try to be here this morning. I did it. I am here. You didn't try to get here this morning. You are here. You did it. Are you with me? As far as I'm concerned, trying is for losers. You do it. Okay? Nike stole that, you know, slogan. It says, just do it. Don't try. Amen? Don't try and get to heaven. Do it. Make every effort. He says, the door is going to close for you and I. When is that door going to close? I don't know. Either when you die or when Jesus comes back. It's done. It's over. The door is going to close. The doors are closed right now as we're speaking. You know, do you realize? I didn't realize this until a few years ago. You know, some of these classical concerts and stuff. You're given a certain period of time to get there and to sit down. Peter will tell you. Alan will tell you. This guy's playing an orchestra. Let me tell you something. When the lights go off, I don't care if you're the president. They are not going to let you win because you are not going to interrupt the performance. You got to get there. Are you with me? Yes. Seated, ready to go. None of this, excuse me. Say, excuse me. You're going to stay outside. If there's an intermission, you're going to be outside until the intermission, and then they will let you win. Are you with me? But the door is going to close. It's funny. Even in life, we understand the concept, but somehow we think it's fuzzy. It's not fuzzy. One day you are not going to be on this earth. One day I'm not going to be here. This week again, you know, I went out with Doublewood. Another couple went out. You know, I had my new best friend, Shrimp and Gumbo. I got to be honest with you. I'm sitting there going, you know what? Man, one day I'm not going to be here to eat this. This thought went through my mind as I'm eating that stuff. It was so good. So one day I'm not going to be here to eat this. I didn't share that with anybody else, but now I'm sharing it with you. But these are the kind of things that go through my mind. One day the door is going to close. But the question is, are you in? Or are you playing games with the Lord? We got to get serious. Notice, many think most will be saved. The Bible says the opposite. I would like to say, you know what? Oh, it doesn't matter what you believe. Oh, we're all children of God. We're all going to heaven. I will be a liar. That's a lie. The scriptures does not teach that. You say, well, how many? I don't know. When you see God, you can ask him. Just make sure your life is right before you face him. Amen? I'm glad I'm not God. That's not my job. My job, our job, is to seek and save the lost. But the Bible says a few. I don't know what a few is. We just hit 7 billion as a population on earth. You know, they were projecting this stuff out, saying, you know, if this continues at this rate, you know, there's going to be this many people on earth. Yes or no? This. All I could do was I just sat there going, I'm so thankful I'm not going to be around. I'm dead serious. When the population is 14 billion, I'm not going to be here. You are not going to be here. And I'm glad. Because remember, the population grows. What happens to resources? They become more scarce and scarce. It's simple economics. It's not rocket science. Amen? Some people say, how can a loving God will not send all these people to hell? Oh, really? Well, I don't think you know a lot about God. First of all, God does not send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell by not obeying the Bible. Okay, let's get that one right. God does not send anybody to hell. Everybody that ends up in hell is as a result of their choice. Are you with me? Now, watch this. I put some examples up here. Have you heard of the flood? Let me hear you say amen if you agree. You remember a guy named Noah? That this young man back here is named after? Okay? Noah and his family survived the flood. What did God do with the rest of mankind? He wiped them out. Let me tell you something. That example is in the Bible for a reason. That you know what? There is a righteous side to God. There is a just side to Him. He has a wrath. Just like He's got a love. Are you with me? Okay, if that was not enough, you remember Sodom and Gomorrah? There was a guy named Lot. L-O-T. I don't know of any Lots. Maybe you know one in your class or something. Or your workplace. I haven't met one yet. It's not a very common name. This guy was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. You can go study it out in the scriptures. God was going to wipe the place out. And God says, you know what? If there are 10 righteous people in there, I will not wipe it out. Guess what? There were less than 10. Lot escaped with his two daughters and his wife. There were 4 of them that escaped Sodom. And when the destroying angel showed, I said, you know what? Take off. Don't look back. I mean, these guys were running for their lives. Okay, at some point, Lot's wife thought she was slick. Let me just take a glance over my shoulder. Maybe nobody would notice. She turned into a pillar of salt. You do not disobey God. You don't get away with it. So in essence, only 3 of them survived that. The account is in Genesis 19. Go study that. I'm not making this stuff up. Okay? This is the one I like the most. Remember the Israelites when they came out of Egypt? And Moses sent out the 12 spies to go survey the land. And 10 of them came back saying, oh no, we can't take the land. We saw giants there. As a matter of fact, let's go back to Egypt. And they spread a bad report throughout the whole land. Only 2 adults, okay, out of 603,550 adults over the age of 20 were allowed to enter the promised land. And what were their names? Joshua and Caleb. Some of you guys are named that today. He wiped them all out. How? They just died out. Say, okay. Oh, really? Okay, fine. You don't think I can get you into the promised land? Fine. Well, you're not going anyhow. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. They added 40 years to their journey. Only 2 adult males made it. Again, I show you this to say, you know what? God has destroyed the majority in the past before. And guess what? He's about to do it again. It's called Judgment Day. I just don't know what the number is. You don't know what the number is. All I care about is I want to be one of the few. That's all you need to concern yourself with. I want to be one of the few. Count me among the few. Are you listening to me? Not among the many. It's like, you know, several years from now, I said, what's your name? Many? Mm-mm-mm, I'm not many. My name is Few. You heard the story of the plane that was going down? They were flying and then lost one engine, then they lost another engine. And the pilot said, you know what? To save the plane, we got to start tossing people out. Say, well, let's do it in alphabetical order in terms of your nationality. Says, all the Americans report to the emergency exit. And the little boy sitting there looking at his eyes, said, that's us. Says, son, no, today we're Zulus. Let me tell you something. On Judgment Day, you don't want to be a part of the many. You want to be a part of the few. Amen, church? That's what I want to be. Majority is not going to rule at the end. It may work at Congress. And it's a mess, by the way. But you see, only a few people are going to make it. We got to remember the past. I love this passage. Romans 3:20 is very simple. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. Okay? All have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's what it says. Are there any exceptions? Can you name one? No. You say, how about babies? Babies do not understand the concept of wrongdoing. So they can't sin. Okay? You say, Richard, what's the age of accountability? I don't know. God does. But there's going to come a time when God is going to hold you responsible for the stuff you're doing. Are you with me? It's not as if, you know, those kids are going to grow up. We got kids in the house. It's not as if they're going to grow up and all of a sudden sin is going to jump in. They were born with that DNA. It's already in them. It's just at a certain point it starts to manifest itself. That's all it is. Are you with me? But we got to get lost first before we can get saved. Amen? But it's not complicated. It's not rocket science because all have sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. None of us deserve to go to heaven. Okay? No one is good. Compared to God's standard, compared to the Bible, we're all wretched sinners. I think a lot of times we try to pamper ourselves saying, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. That's what the Bible is trying to tell you. You are bad. I am bad. Now, if you compare yourself with other human beings, yeah, I'm sure, you know, you're a pretty nice guy. You're a pretty nice person in your neighborhood. But I'm sorry, your neighborhood is not the standard. The Bible is. God is. He's holy. He's righteous. And he's saying, despite all of our stain, despite all of our sin, he wants us to come to him. I mean, all the songs we sang this morning, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Life is just a passing glance. Seek him while you have the chance. We are made of clay. That's all we are. Are you a Christian? Have you repented? I mean, I'm talking about you used to live in sin and boom, you cut it off. That's what repentance is in the Bible. It's not this, I'm trying to change. Repentance is not trying. Repentance is metanoia. That's the Greek word. It's a mind change. Are you with me? But you see, we all deserve to be separated from God. And like Harold was saying this morning in the passage, I mean, God allowed his son, our sacrificial lamb, to take our place. How sweet is that? And really, on a daily basis, we live our lives as such that we want to tell God, thank you for saving us. That's all Christianity is. Is you and I saying thank you to God on a daily basis. It's not coming to church. It's not just reading your Bible or praying. And I'm not saying those things are not right. We need to be doing those things. But it's about on a daily basis where we're showing our gratitude back to God for everything he's done for us. Are you with me? You know, I want to put some stuff up here to encourage us. There are many religious people in the Bible that got humble. And they changed when they saw the truth. Gary referred to one of them this morning in his lesson in Acts 18. Apollos. I didn't even put that one up. The man was a very religious man. But the Bible, like it says to us, like we read this morning, he was very devout. But the Bible says he knew only the baptism of John. And if you go read the Gospels, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Nobody was baptized for the forgiveness of sins until Jesus rose from the dead. No one. Nobody. But you see, these guys were very humble. You remember Cornelius in Acts 10? He was a religious person. And he changed. He became a Christian. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8? This guy was devout. Some of us, we struggle to come to church on Sunday morning. Oh, it's too far. Talk about going to church. do you know where Ethiopia is on the map? This guy, the Bible says he went to Jerusalem to worship. That's like going from Atlanta all the way up to New York City. They didn't have cars back then. At best, he probably had camels and donkeys. It took days, weeks. And I can't break, oh, I can't go to church. You have got to be kidding me. How devout are you? God knows. Lydia, she was devout. The Bible says she was a worshiper of God, Acts 16. She heard the message, got humble, responded to it. And then my favorite, Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. This guy was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. The Bible says when it comes to legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. Wow. When Jesus showed up on the road to Damascus, you know, Saul in a lot of ways was an exceptional conversion in the sense that, you know, it wasn't just, hey, Saul, what's up? The Lord blinded him. He heard the voice. He said, hey, who are you, Lord? Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You see, when people persecute you, God takes it personally. In case you didn't know. And he sees it. And he's going to deal with those guys. Anyway, so for 3 days, the Bible says, he ate nothing. What was he doing? He was praying and fasting. And then God sent Ananias to go over and heal him. And Ananias says, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And that's exactly what he did. Paul didn't go, you know, hey, I'm a Pharisee, I'm a Jew. I'm a Christian already. I'm following Jesus. He also had to change. But you know what's so amazing about all these guys? I mean, again, these are other examples. They all listen to the message. They all listened to the message. They were humble. You will see that very clearly in Acts chapter 18 with Apollos. The Bible says he was a learned man. He was an educated guy. Could you let me get rid of that buzz, please? Now, notice also, they all responded immediately to what they heard. They listened. They got humble. And they responded. That is what you do with the message. Amen? It's not that complicated. You know, about 18 months ago, there's a guy called Francis Chen. He's a minister. Very popular on the West Coast. You may know him here on the East Coast too. He's written several books. And I didn't even know this. It was several years ago. The teens were getting ready to have a teen retreat. And the theme of their retreat was going to be Crazy Love. I remember talking to John. I said, what in the world? Where did you get that? Where did you get this title? He goes, oh, it's from this guy called Francis Chen. He says, oh, you know, the book is very good. I read it. I said, okay, no problem. It's just a theme. This guy left his church. How did he arrive at that conclusion? He said, he and his wife, they asked themselves, are we true disciples of Jesus? And they went out and studied out the book of Luke over and over and over and over again. And they got up in front of their church and said, guys, we are not disciples of Jesus Christ like it talks about in the Bible. If this disciple is, she's a minister. He got up and said, you know what? We are not doing this. You know what? I'm stepping aside. Because I got to figure this stuff out for myself first. All I know is I am not a disciple. Based on what the Bible teaches. He's very popular. He loves to do videos and stuff. I mean, he's a very popular preacher. I want to show you a clip of something, you know, another video he did. True, I'm not making this up. You've never seen him or heard his name, you're about to meet him. Okay? Watch this. That took... Guys, that took courage. That took guts to admit that all these years, he's been wrong. And you better believe the evangelicals are going after him. Again, this is not something the Church of Christ came up with. Are you with me? Now, we do believe you got to repent and get baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what it says in Acts 2:38. This whole idea of people praying just into their hearts started about 200 years ago. A lot of you don't even know where it started. I can tell you where it started. And like the scriptures teach, we need to test everything. Because Satan doesn't want to go to hell by himself. You know, the devil is a lot smarter than we give him credit for. Pick up the book. Look at what it says. Be humble. And most importantly, have the courage to do what it says. It's not rocket science. You guys, you hear me say that a lot. Okay, this stuff is not rocket science. Hang on a second. I want to show you something. You know, it's not rocket science. This, I'm told, is rocket science. I don't even know what this means. What is this? F is equal to G. Is this food is equal to growth? I mean, what is this? Now, some of you guys who went to Georgia Tech and all that, you know this stuff. But the point is, this is not rocket science. It isn't. It wasn't designed to be. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is in Luke 19. Where, you know the story? We're told of the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. The guy who said he was short, he wanted to see Jesus, so he ran ahead and he climbed a tree. And so, when Jesus came, hey, Zach, what's up? Come on down. I'm spending at your house today. I do the same, by the way. I call people, I say, I'm coming for dinner. You better start cooking. I'm not Jesus, but I'm a minister of Jesus. It's okay. And so, at the end of the day, what did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? Today, salvation has come to this house. For this man too is the son of Abraham. For I came to seek and to save what was lost. That's what it's all about. That's what we've been called to go do. To go seek and to save the lost. So let me ask you, church, are you still excited to do that? When was the last time you sought somebody out and you helped them get saved? Has it been months? Has it been years? Or has Christianity just become for you, I go to church now? Are you kidding me? This church is about seeking and saving the Lord. It always has been. And it always will be. I'm not going to apologize for it. I never will. We are called to seek and to save the lost. With our neighbors, with our classmates, on our campus, at our workplace, with strangers, whoever. That's what we're called to do. Amen? And so, what do you call it? I want you to talk to your family group leader after church. We put a booklet together, it's How to Become a Disciple of Jesus, a simple Bible study guide to salvation. Every Christian gets one. Because sometimes I hear people say, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do. Well, I just took that excuse away. Okay? You know what to do. Everything is in here. The questions, everything. Just do what's in the book. Okay? Now, don't jump around. Again, it's a guide. I have helped hundreds and hundreds of people become Christians. I know what I'm talking about. I don't go up to people and tell them they're lost. I don't. You're not going to convert them. You're just going to get them angry. There's a way to convert people. Are you with me? And so everybody gets one. Please put your name in it because that's all you're going to get. Okay? If you lose it, sorry. What do you call it? But I want to give credit. The cover was designed by Ben Reynolds. And Noy took the photograph. Can I have both of you stand up? Where's Noy? There's you. It's pretty nice if you ask me. They did a fantastic job. But again, why are we doing this? It's just so that, you know what? We got close to 1 million people in this county. We got a lot of work to do, church. A lot of work. And so, we're gonna keep making disciples. Amen? And as we go out there, we're just going to keep planting the word and sowing the seed. And God's going to make it grow. It's not about us. It never has been. It's about God and His Spirit. Are you with me? This county is as open as our mouths. It is that simple. You open your mouth, people are going to come to Christ. You keep your mouth shut, nobody's going to change. We're called to go seek and save the lost. What a privilege. That's what gets me excited. To see people become Christians. You know, you think you're having trouble, you think you're having problems in your life, and you sit there, you study with a Bible, a non-Christian, and they start telling you their life and their history and their story. All of a sudden, you realize, man, I got so much to be thankful for. Because there's no way in the world I'll trade places with this person. A lot of us, we think, oh yeah, I've just been here. You know what? If you get out and just start reaching out to people, you will see the world very differently. That is the solution to a lot of your problems, is to get outward. Amen? And look at other people. See what they're going through. And help them know God. Like I said, it's not rocket science. Some of these guys can tell you what this formula means and how it works. You know what? That's why they're being paid what they're paid. That's why they went to Georgia Tech. God bless them. But I'm glad the Bible is very simple. If we would simply have the courage to do what it says. See, the real reason why many don't change, let's just be honest. They love to sin. They don't want to give it up. Period. It is that simple. Sometimes we have this, I'm not too bad a person mindset. Really? Like I said, you are bad. I am bad. The Bible says all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. Again, pride sometimes. How could I have been so wrong all these years? Well, I'll tell you, I can give you at least one reason. You never read the book. You never read the book. I'm sorry. You read parts of it. You've never really read the book. Another reason why people don't become Christians, fear of what others might say. There's no way in the world I'm going to allow another human being to determine where I spend eternity. I'm sorry. You don't have that kind of hold on my life. And I'm not going to give it to you. You're going to allow somebody else to determine whether you go to heaven or not? You're afraid of what this person is going to say or what that person is going to say, how this person is going to react? Are you kidding me? We're talking about your eternity. I can't imagine, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to become a Christian because I'm afraid my wife or this or my husband's going to do this or my father's going to say this. And then you get to the other side, you don't make it. What you going to do? You're going to look at them and say, hey, I didn't become a Christian because of you. They're going to look at you, I got my own problems. Don't you try and put that on me. It's your choice. And then sometimes we think, you know, I'll make the decision later. But you see, there's no guarantee of tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. No one is. Are you with me? Today is the day of salvation. I pray that today you can say, you know what? Salvation will come to your house. Whatever it is you need to do, whatever decisions you need to make, whatever passages you need to look at, It is time to get serious about your relationship with God. People are changing out there. People are admitting where they're at and deciding to do exactly what the scriptures teach. And it's your turn. It's your turn. So that one day you can stand before God when it's all said and done and be a part of the few. That's all you need to concern yourself with. Amen? Amen. God bless.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, thank you so much, God, for this message today, Father. And I pray that we will all follow the example of those in the book of Acts who were religious, but then they listened to the word and they humbled themselves. And they truly responded immediately to it and didn't ask why God wanted them to do certain things or anything like that. They didn't question the word of God, but they heard it for what it was, and it wasn't the word of man, but the word of God. And Father, I pray we'll have the same attitude about your word, that we will study it diligently. We will suffer to get into the kingdom of heaven. That we will make every effort, no matter what that means, just as they did, Father, and we have it a lot easier than they do in America. Father God, I pray that we will just tune out other influences and that we will just look at your word for what it is without listening to other voices, but just to listen to your spirit and ask you to reveal it to us, Father. Thank you so much for your word that we can live in the truth and be blameless before you, God, as we obey and repent every day. Lord God, I pray that you will just be with us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all are dismissed.